Hi there. Here we are for another episode of Living in the 60s. I'm Craig, and Tom is right here.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, look at Tom. There he is. So, Tom, get comfortable. We're going to jump into our time capsule back to the 1960s. We're going to reminisce about our memories from vacations that we took back in the 60s. Now, we have our own stories that we're going to share on our vacation memories, but we got some good stories from some of our listeners. So here we go. I'm going to kind of kick this off. When I thought about this, I thought, well, my mom and dad did a great job of always taking us on vacations.
All of them do.
Yeah, and I remember our first one is we got into the good old 1960 Impala, and we drove to North Miami Beach, if you can imagine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, my grandma and grandpa and my uncle and aunt and cousins all lived there. So this was about a three-day trip, right?
Oh.
So, and of course, it was in the summer. That's when my dad decided to take the vacation. Now, imagine, there we are, rolling down the highway. Windows are down because there's no air conditioning in this Impala, right? And I'll never forget, my dad got his arm sunburned because he had it sitting out on the window all the time, sitting on the window ledge.
What a way to travel.
Oh, yeah, right. And, you know, I was thinking about what did we do on our way there? Well, we had an AM radio in the car. Well, that didn't provide much entertainment.
And that was just about all the radio you had.
Right.
FMs really didn't come in.
No. So it was all AM radio at that time. But we would play different road games. My mom did her best to keep my sister and I somewhat occupied. I'll never forget, there's one game that we had that had, you know, it was like a bingo card, and you checked off various signs that you saw, and you were the winner if you could fill up that whole thing. So that was the first trip that came to mind. And then in 61, we went to Disneyland in California. So, and at that time, you know, I had been watching the Mickey Mouse Club, and I was so excited to get to Disneyland. And that trip, as I remember, also took us about 3 days to get out there. And I'll never forget, we were going through Las Vegas. We didn't stay in Vegas, I don't think. But the heat was so bad. And again, windows down, no air conditioning. My mom actually got sick. She had to crawl in the back seat because the heat was coming through the front windshield. So anyway, what a great trip and great memory that was. And then we went up the coast to San Francisco, the Redwoods in California, and then my aunts and uncles were in Coos Bay, Oregon, kind of south of Portland. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's funny. We didn't have family that was close to us, so we had to either go to the East Coast down to Miami or, you know, the West Coast out there to Coos Bay, Oregon to see uncles and aunts. But anyway, fun trips. And, you know, besides the bigger vacations, I remembered we also would take shorter vacations to Paul Bunyan Land. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but back in the day, you'd walk in and that big Paul Bunyan statue was there. And all of a sudden, the statue would say, "Well, there's Craig from St. Louis Park." And I could never figure out how did he know it was me. I was so amazed. And one of the other day trips that we took was kind of a long one. We went to Winnipeg, Canada. I'm not sure why we went there, but I do remember going. And of course, we went to the Black Hills, Mount Rushmore, Waldrug, and it was easy to get there again in one day. So we had some good vacations and good memories. What kind of memories do you have, Tom?
I'm going to go back and bring about, we had a Winnipeg trip too.
Oh, you did? Okay.
When the kids were playing soccer.
Oh.
So we had a Chevy Astro van. This was later. But Chevy Astro van, and we'll never forget, we took 10 soccer kids Astro van all the way to Winnipeg. And Winnipeg's a trip.
Well, yeah, that's a haul.
And that was an interesting, and they were not quite teenagers, but they were that group. But, for us, Craig, it was camping. We started our adventure with a huge tent. You know those tents you'd see on MASH with
heavy
canvas?
Army tents, yeah.
Yeah, and except it was a little bit smaller. But I remember my dad planning the trip and getting to the campsite early so we'd have plenty of time to set the thing up.
Oh, wow.
Heavy canvas, tent poles, tent stakes, a lot of work for the family to do. So until you really think about it, it's incredible. After the tent was set up, we brought in a foldable tin cooking table, turquoise in color, right in right there, and not real sturdy. The cooking stove then came out, the ice box with mom's planned foods. Air mattresses back then were inflated. We had to inflate them. Back then, they didn't have electric inflators, so we huffed and puffed to do that. In addition, we used the original, what I call army cots back then. I think they're still around today. A wooden frame that folded up. The material was canvas, army green in color, of course. And to sleep on these was really a treat. Sometimes it was better to sleep on the ground, but it happened quite often. The air mattresses, by the way, were not like we have today. It wasn't the plastic or anything. They were made of a tough canvas type rubber. Back then, there was no real floaty plastics. And if you wanted to use them for swimming, which was really common for us to do, many times at night, then you would have to lay the wet side down. Yeah. Oh, how about the camping stools? You remember those?
I broke a few of those, I'm sure, in my day, yeah.
They were green and orange, and with the yellow stripe colors. Not very sturdy, but, you know, good around a campfire.
Sure.
We enjoyed camping a lot and graduated to a medium-sized Shasta trailer.
Yeah.
And I think the Shasta trailer, I'm not sure whether they're around today. Not large compared to the monsters of today, but really a nice upgrade. Had a refrigerator, a table you could actually sit around and get out of the elements. It was nice. I remember going to Colorado Mountains in a trailer.
Oh, my.
It took quite a pull on the car. And I remember going up and the radiator went out.
Oh, no.
And I remember that trip. We also moved up to a pop-up trailer, you know, one of those low trailers.
Right.
It was much lighter, and the sides folded down with the canvas and the screen netting on the outside. One of my favorite memories of camping was meeting new friends. We would go into a campsite, and we'd be there. All of a sudden, kids would come over from different areas, different states, and we'd do outdoor games. We'd play in the dark, and it was just... That was really special to us. Campfires, those were a big thing. Roasting s'mores, hot dogs, and I still love campfires today.
Oh, you can't beat it. The smell of the campfire, it's great.
I'll get them going, and I have a pretty good wood pile.
Oh, I bet you
up
do.
Up north, too. Where would you travel, we ask?
Yeah, where did you travel?
We went to Banff National Park in Canada.
Wow.
Lake Louise.
Yeah.
The Grand Teton Mountains. We wouldn't get out west that much. We go Grand Teton Mountains in Wyoming,
yep.
Glacier National Park in Montana, and one of my best memories was riding horseback in the mountains of Colorado. You know, that was just a great trip.
I bet you were a great cowboy, Tom.
Yeehaw!
Yeah. Yeehaw!
Stops included the Black Hills.
There you go. Yeah.
Mount Rushmore, the Badlands, Yellowstone National Park with Old Faithful and the Hot Springs. Custer Battlegrounds were great. And one of my favorites was looking for agates in Montana. You know, right now I still have it.
I believe it. I'm sure it's, where is it? Out in your garage or?
No, it's in my storage area down here. But
all right.
I'm eventually going to.
What kind of agates were you able to find?
The moss agate. Those are beautiful. The blood agate's one of my favorite. It's a red blood agate, of course. The black agate and a few more. We are also hunting for fossils, too.
Wow, look at you guys. Man, you were explorers.
I still have the fossils, some of them. Voyageurs National Park in Minnesota was fun by the Canadian border. And closer to home, not camping, but we would go for an evening to the lake close to us, and that lake was Lake Independence. Mom would pack dinner, and we'd go swimming with those air mattresses.
Yep.
And we would just have a good time. If we did get home early, we would try to stop at Dairy Queen and grab a cone. And by them, they called them the whip.
Cones,
remember that?
Right.
And that's because they had a whip on top. we had all sorts of the best times anybody could appreciate. Mom and Dad, what they did to really make it special.
Yeah, it was sounds special. Like you guys did a lot of traveling. I thought we did, but...
Well, we didn't go as far as you did, but...
Yeah, right.
Just, you know,
had one of the things about my dad and why we didn't camp is he would always say, I did my camping in World War II.
So he
did not want to do any camping. He had done that. So, you know, I was thinking about hotels and motels that we stayed at on these trips. And if we were lucky, we were able to stay at like a Howard Johnson's or Holiday Inn. But mostly we stayed at the mom and pop hotels, similar to what the Bates Motel looked like in the movie Psycho.
Oh.
So now you probably don't know about this, but maybe you do. But back in those days, the motels had what was called the vibrating bed or the magic fingers.
Yes.
And, do you remember it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, for 25 cents, the bed would vibrate for 15 minutes. And I was talking to my sister about this, and she said, don't you remember how we'd beg mom and dad for a quarter so that we can sit out? You know, and obviously it was some kind of gimmick, but I'm not sure what the mattress was even made of. But again, we just beg our mom and dad for that. I looked it up, and I found out the guy that invented that sold over 1 million of those to different hotels and motels in his day. So he made his money while he could. You know, then I was thinking about what did we do for meals during the day. If possible, mom would pack a lunch or whatever. But if we were really lucky, we'd stop at Kentucky Fried Chicken, A&W, the Dairy Queen, or even McDonald's.
Which were just really coming
up. Yeah, they were just coming up. But normally, again, mom and pop, greasy spoon. That was a memory of that trip.
They were good. Great, great. Hey, Craig, do you remember the gas stations back then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of them were like a Shell Oil, Pure Oil, Standard Oil, Sinclair, Mobil, Texaco, Gulf, Esco, Sunco.
Oh, yeah.
And Union 76. Those are
right.
just a few.
Yeah.
And some of the stations that give you like the green stamps when you're traveling.
Right.
With your gas purchase, S&H green stamps and Gold Bond stamps.
Yeah, those were I big remember too. That. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that in a future podcast about some
and
of
I
these
think
things.
We talked a little bit about it earlier, the back in the day, the S&H green stamps and the Gold Bond stamps, how you'd save them up. And then, you know, you'd get this book every year. Here's what your stamps can buy. And, of course, I'd be looking at a new car or whatever. But yeah, there's no way you'd get enough stamps.
And that's another thing that we're going to be talking about in other ones were jobs that we had in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And we both worked at Carlson Companies with Gold Bond
that's
stamps,
right.
both of us. We didn't even know that.
Redemption Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I do have to share with you what was personally my most exciting vacation. It was back in 68. I drove out to San Diego with a friend. We drove from Minneapolis all the way to San Diego. He had a VW van, and he was headed out there for college. So he had me come out. I flew back home. So we camped all the way out, and kind of similar to what you're saying, you know, and we stopped at places like Estes Park and other beautiful state and federal parks all along the way out there. But this guy was so insistent, he wanted to go to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, wow.
And he wanted to walk to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and camp overnight. And, of course, then we'd have to walk back up the next day. And I was dreading this the whole way out there. In my mind, I kept thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. I mean, I was dreading it. I like being a couch potato. That was where I was from and watching cartoons. Even in 68. So sure enough, we got out there and we walked to the bottom of Grand Canyon. It took us only 4 hours. Well, obviously we're going down, so that wasn't too hard. We had to share space with donkeys because some people would rent donkeys to go down, but no, not us.
We had to
walk down. We had a great night camping down at the bottom. But then the next morning, we had to start our journey. We left at like 6 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Well, we knew it was going to get hot, right? And we knew we probably weren't going to make it in 4 hours going straight back up. But it took us about 9 hours with stops for water. And about at the 7 hour time frame, my friend started to slow down, right? We're just walking together, not at a heavy pace. And he said, "You go ahead, you keep going and just wait for me at the top." And I felt kind of weird about it, but he said, "No, you go." So I was sitting there, I bet for, 2 hours. And he reached the top. I'll never forget it. He looked gray. He was moving real slow. So we got into the lobby here at this beautiful Grand Canyon Lodge, and he collapses.
Oh.
Well, he had become so severely dehydrated. So I'm still a young guy. I don't know what's going on here. So the people at the lodge were kind and helped get us some water, get him somewhat back on his feet. But the only thing I could think to do was pitch a tent right away. So they're out right outside the Grand Canyon Lodge.
Oh, wow.
The entrance. They let us pitch right there on the grass. So, yeah. And next morning he popped up and said, "All right, let's get moving." So it was, part of our plan was to get to Las Vegas. We stayed overnight at Caesar's Palace. How's that for a couple of yahoos? Wow. And that night we went to see a singer who was just becoming famous. Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim.
You remember that?
Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Can you sing that song, Tom?
I won't try right now.
Doggone it. So anyway, that was quite a trip. We made it to San Diego without any other incidents. But my trip to the Grand Canyon, truly a memorable trip. But like you found when you were camping at all those locations, there's beautiful parks.
Oh.
And it was a blast. And people are so friendly. So
yeah. Yeah, it was great, great. Say, one of our listeners, Craig, remembers camping at Itasca State Park.
Oh, yeah,
Itasca
yeah,
State
right.
Park. Taylor's Falls.
Yeah.
That, staying at her uncle's cabin and in Duluth Cabin.
Oh, yeah.
On Lake Superior.
Right.
Beautiful areas, very popular today. Tenting and camping in trailers like the Airstream.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are classics.
They're still around.
Yeah, they are, and becoming a popular way to take trips back in the 60s with the Airstream.
Yeah, and I think the Shasta that you mentioned earlier, I think you can still find them. I think they're still around, but yeah, Airstream and Shasta, boy, that was the way to go.
That's some of the TV shows that are doing now. They restore those beautiful trailers, and they come back just beautiful.
I know. So we got some input from listeners, and this is from Sharon. And I think it's so typical of those times back in the 60s. She said, "We didn't have money for trips like people take now. So we didn't stay in hotels or resorts, didn't fly anywhere. We loaded up the car, spent a week at a campground," kind of like what you were talking about, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
"One year we had a campsite that was reserved right with our neighbors next door. And our neighbor always tells a story of his family in Iowa loading up the car for a week of camping in Minnesota. And just as they were going to leave, his mom came out and she said the washing machine had broken." And again, typical, right? They didn't have enough money for the camping trip and a new washer.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to unload the car and stay home. Imagine the disappointment.
Wow.
And like Sharon says, people didn't use credit cards like they do now.
No.
So, you had only so much money, and unfortunately the family vacation had to be sacrificed for a washing machine. Sharon also says mom got a cash allowance on payday, and that had to cover the household expenses for the next 2 weeks. We did a lot of driving trips. Some trips we even took grandma with. So all five of them were crammed into the car with the trunk full and a car topper. Remember the good old car topper?
Yes, yes.
That was loaded on top. 1 year, we spent 2 weeks driving out west. We'd stop and pitch our tent every night. Imagine that. Went to Mount Rushmore, Rocky Mountains, Bryce Canyon, Grand Canyon, Las Vegas, Redwood Forest, Yosemite, and back home. Drive, look, camp, and repeat for 2 weeks. Sharon says, "I haven't camped since."
Wow. You know, Sharon, that is such great memories back then. And thank you so much for sending that in. Here's a memory from a listener, Jill. My one and only camping experience from Jill comes with my family involved in a truck camper. Remember those?
Oh, yeah, sure.
On top. To Canada for a fishing trip. My family dynamics were two older siblings, high school ages, and a young brother and I in grade school, along with a family dog. Oh, it sounds like fun. Dad did all the driving while Mom kept us entertained and busy. Us kids rode in the truck, back in the camper, playing cards, two of us playing cards at the table or reading, and two of us in the loft bed above the truck.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, we love the loft bed. My mom came up with us to tease. If you were really good, you could sit up in the bench seat
right next
between Mom and Dad. Yeah, yeah. For an hour or two. What I mean, that was a super privilege, she said. We loved all the campfires. And everyone had a folding chair except us younger kids, and we got to sit on a camp stool. You know, the ones we're talking about?
Yeah, right.
With a forest green canvas stretched over two wooden legs. I fondly remember the order that we had to go to bed in.
Sure.
In cramped quarters.
Right.
First, my sister and I cleaned up and headed for the loft bed. Next, the two brothers would clean up and headed for the pup tent. Remember the pup tent?
Oh, sure, the little pup tent.
Yeah,
sure.
Along with protection with the dog. And lastly, Mom and Dad would fold down the table and jump into bed.
Wow.
What a process. And of course, the reverse had to happen in the morning. Get up, then cook bacon and eggs, and everyone had their turns in the tiny bathroom, and then sit outside with a picnic table and wait for our breakfast. All awaiting for breakfast, and we made friends with the area chipmunks that would love to eat pieces of bread, chips, and other goodies. Us kids would sneak away from Mom, and the trip lasted 12 days.
Oh, my.
And shortly after, my folks decided to buy land, build a cabin, pretty smart deal. Of course, that's a lot of work, too. We had three cabins on three different lakes, Lake Marie, Pleasant Lake, and finally, Cross Lake.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The camper was then used by the boys for hunting and a guest house and at the cabin, and lots of fond memories and lots of slideshows to revisit those years. And, you know, slideshows, movies.
Oh, yeah.
8mm, 16mm. You back, and it's like you were there like yesterday.
Wouldn't you have loved to hear Jill's mom and dad talking about this after the 12 days? And he probably looks at her and goes, we're buying a cabin.
Yes. Yeah. No more. Yeah, enough of this.
Enough of this road trip stuff. But, oh, that's a great story. Hey, yes. I got one from one of our good friends, Chris, and she says, it was 1969, and I was traveling with my family of six, pulling a trailer for a month. Sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But for a month. This would be my last trip with the family, so I was determined it would be good. But when you're 18 and feel more adult than a kid, it's a little more challenging to have your brother's smelly feet in your face in the back seat and your two younger sisters demanding attention. At one point, when we were traveling through Arizona, the heat index was 117 degrees
wow.
in the shade. So it was recommended that we find a place to sit for a while before heading through the mountains, or kind of what happened to you guys, there would be a good chance of the car overheating.
Mm-hmm.
We were all overheated already despite the air conditioning in the car. Well, Chris, I'm glad you guys had air conditioning in your car, because I certainly didn't. But my dad finally saw a motel on the side of the road and pulled in. Yay! There was a swimming pool. We quickly wow. rented a room, changed into our suits, headed to the pool. Much to our pleasure, there was no one in the pool, so we had it all to ourselves. On the count of three, we all jumped in. But the cool refreshment we were expecting was immediately doused as the temperature in the water was as hot as the air in the shade.
Oh, wow.
So much for a cool break. No wonder there was no one in the pool. Well, we all headed to the motel room, squished into the small space, watched TV quietly so my dad could rest. It wasn't the most pleasant afternoon, but it is sure one thing that all my siblings and I remember, and we still laugh about it all these years afterwards.
Sounds like the vacation movie with
yeah,
Chevy
with
Chase.
Chevy, oh, yeah. Man.
Great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris. That was great. Well, this was a great memory of our good old friend, Bill.
Oh, Bill.
Oh, yeah. And this was an interesting family trip with Christmas, New Year's holiday and during his senior year. It was a trip that eventually landed us in Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
Visiting a few of the islands, and it was preceded by a driving trip from Minneapolis over Omaha, Nebraska, to visit family friends and visit some of the friends in California before flying from San Francisco to Honolulu. Well, this was a plan of visiting friends along the way on the West Coast, worked better on paper than it did in reality. Well, we all went on the first day of driving to Omaha, and we had a very nice overnight with family friends. A good old snowstorm moved in. And while driving across Nebraska, we became stuck on Interstate 80.
Oh, my.
With 200 other people. Eventually, after about 7 hours, we were towed off the interstate by Nebraska National Guard to York, Nebraska, where families opened up their homes and we had a warm place to stay overnight.
Oh, boy.
That's nice for families to do that. A couple of other days later, the adventure continued as we were on Interstate 80 across Donner Pass in the Sierra Nevada mountains of California. We got caught in another snowstorm. How about that?
Oh, Bill.
Followed them right there.
Man.
While we never ground to a complete halt, it took several hours later, and it no longer had to have a follow caravan of cars to get through. It was truly a white knuckle experience. Finally, we made it to San Francisco, caught our flight to Hawaii, and had a great time on the Hawaiian Islands. A couple of highlights were when I learned how to surf on Waikiki, and this was my first visit to the USS Arizona Memorial on the naval base at Pearl Harbor. A little did we know that at that time, that 20 years later, I would retire from the U.S. Navy as a Navy commander.
Huh.
Another great memory from the trip was, in those days, a telephone call from Hawaii to Minnesota was not cheap. Needless to say, I talked my friends into allowing me to call a group of you back at home on New Year's Eve from our hotel room. Since we were 5 zones earlier in Hawaii than back home, I remember talking to many of you, my classmates, that were at a party, possibly at Peggy's home, shortly before midnight. It was a great memory. Well, despite all the challenges of getting to the West Coast, it was a good vacation with my parents and my brother during my senior year.
Hey, you can't knock Hawaii, but getting there was a tough part.
Great, tough part.
It reminds me of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That's another movie, too. But the hard thing that I found in this is I wasn't at Peggy's party that night. You probably were.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Yeah.
Who did he call?
I don't know. Okay. I got a last story from a faithful listener, Paul, and he lives in Rockford, Minnesota. And he talks about this trip. He said, we took a AAA trip, and it was with Roundhouse Rodney.
Oh, wow.
That went to California for 8 days. Now, we've talked about Roundhouse Rodney. He was on...
Casey Jones,
yep. Right, show, and he was Casey's sidekick. So those of us that watched WTCN, Channel 11 back in the day, we know who Roundhouse Rodney is.
Yes.
So he was with Paul and a group of people for 8 days. So in those days, AAA Tours would provide us with our own group hostess who took over getting us on the plane. When we were met at the plane, we had a custom bus, and then we were taken to Disneyland to the Parkview Motel, which was our base for each activity. So listen to this. Day one was a trip to Disneyland, and back then they had ticket booklets, and you could choose how many tickets you wanted to use for a ride. So, for example, Haunted Mansion would take 3 tickets, a Dumbo ride would take 1. So you had to plan your day carefully. It wasn't like nowadays where you just walk in and go where you want. So day two for Paul was Marine Land and Lion Country Safari, where it says the lions roam loose and you stay in your vehicle for safety's sake. Duh. You know? Day three was Knott's Berry Farm and Movieland Wax Museum. Day four, they went back to Disneyland and a new book of tickets so he could get to the rides that he didn't get to on day one.
Wow.
Day five was one of my favorites, Paul says, with a tour of Universal Studios. So if you remember back in that day, Universal Studios was used for filming a lot of TV shows, whereas today it's a more for rides and amusement rides. And as they were taking the tour, they were filming a cowboy show on the set right across from them. So they had to be quiet for about 10 minutes. And then as they were filming, like I say, the next road over. Then they were off to Grauman's Chinese Theater and got to walk on Hollywood Boulevard. And that's where all the celebrity handprints were. Day six was a trip down to San Diego to what was called now the San Diego Zoo. At the time, it was called Balboa Park. So a huge zoo with lions, tigers, elephants, giraffes, camels, gorillas. And he says, pretty impressive for a boy from a small town of Rockford in Minnesota. Then on day seven, we headed back to Minneapolis, safe and sound, thanks to our AAA hostess. We spent all the time with Rodhouse Rodney and his family, and it was really fun to get to know him. They flew on a Northwest 747, which is, I think I've maybe flown one time on a 747. That's huge. Now listen to the cost of the trip. This blew me away. So it's food, tips, transportation to and from the airport, entrance fees to all the parks that I mentioned, and the airfare. Everything was $359.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, so that would just be for airfare today, let's say.
Yeah, well let's go.
Yeah, well, I can't... I'm not going to Disneyland with you. I can see how that would work. I'd lose you right away.
That is an amazing trip.
Yeah, so the whole thing, $359. So that's back truly in the good old days.
Yeah.
And Paul says, unless you needed money for souvenirs, you really needed nothing else. It was the trip of a lifetime, and he still has the pamphlets from AAA.
Wow.
So I thought that was a really cool story.
Great.
You know, when I look back on all of this, I'm thankful that my parents took the time to take my sister and I on vacation. And hopefully this episode created some good memories for you as you're listening to it, you the listeners. And as always, we'd like to hear your memories. If you've got to add some more vacation memories you'd like us to hear, just send us a note at livinginthe60s@myyahoo.com. Again, livinginthe60s@myyahoo.com. And don't forget, when you're there, if you're listening, make sure you like us. There's a little spot to like us. Give us the hands up.
Yeah.
On the whatever platform you're listening.
Oh, you know, another topic I'd like to have somebody with teachers. Teachers influenced you? How you enjoyed teachers and that type of thing. That send us that too.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Tom. I'm looking at you right now. I think you need to go on a vacation, buddy.
That's the best idea I've heard today.
All right.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you on the next episode.